Hey there, Disky Chicks fans. Before we get started with today's podcast, I wanted to tell you about a special opportunity for you to become the disc expert in your organization. Would you like to deliver disc debriefs with ease? Facilitate coaching sessions and teaming sessions with confidence and elevate your stature as the go-to person for all things disc? Join us for our live advanced DISC certification training coming up in early January 2022. This is a live small group class delivered in 4 2-hour sessions during the first 2 weeks of January. Please go to DiskyChicks.com for more information. And don't wait, because the December 17th registration deadline is coming up quickly. Oh, and one more thing. Since you're a Disky Chicks podcast listener, enter the promotion code DCP123 to get $150 off the registration fee as a thank you from us to you. Now on with the show.
Welcome to the Disky Chicks podcast. For business leaders, HR directors, coaches, and those interested in learning how to use the DISC assessment to grow self-awareness, improve communications, and develop leaders and teams. Please welcome your hosts, business coaches Martha Forlines and Cindy Jacoby. They are loud and proud about all things DISC.
Hi, I'm Cindy Jacoby, Chief Engagement Officer for BizHelp Consulting. I work with companies and teams to improve their effectiveness by improving their hiring and their communication skills. I use DISC to help teams better understand each other and how to work better together and how to choose the right candidate for the job. I also offer certification classes so anyone can comfortably deliver and debrief the DISC assessment to their employees or clients. And by the way, in DISC language, I'm a high influencer and low compliant, meaning I like to talk and influence, and I'm not great with rules or details. Martha, how about you?
Hey, I'm Martha Forlines, CEO of Belief System Institute, and I'm very much like Cindy. I'm also a high influencer with a very, very low C or compliant, not good with details, and not good with following a lot of rules. I also have a high dominant, which we'll be talking more about in the show. I work with courageous entrepreneurs as a consultant and coach to improve leadership skills that then improve business performance. I've had a fascination with human behavior since I was a kid, and I was blessed with 28 years in the corporate world where I was an HR and communications executive. Trust me, being in the people business that long, I've seen and heard it all. And then I started my own business in 2007, focusing on my passion, helping entrepreneurs to be all they want to be to grow their businesses. Together, Cindy and I are the Disky Chicks.
We are here to inform, support, and have some fun with you as we talk about the DISC Behaviors Assessment. Some of you may know about the DISC assessment. DISC measures behaviors or communication style, things we can see when we observe a person closely. What do the letters stand for? D stands for dominance, someone who moves quickly. They're direct with their communication and they're all business. And I is an influencer, someone who also moves quickly, but is more people focused, outgoing, and often humorous. S stands for steadiness. They're slower paced introvert who are people focused, reliable, and yes, steady. And the C stands for compliant. The C's move at a slower pace, and they are our data driven perfectionists who love to know and follow the rules. DISC is the simplest tool to understand, but goes very deep and very wide, and that's why we have lots to talk about. Welcome to our podcast.
Choose a job you love, and you will never work a day in your life. Confucius. Welcome to Disky Chicks. Season 2, Episode 3, and we are thrilled to have a guest with us today, Josh Hickok, who is going to be sharing his career and what he is doing, particularly with DISC, since we're talking about DISC. Josh spent the first 15 years of his career as an executive recruiter in the banking and financial world. Eventually, after years of feeling totally unfulfilled with that work, he decided to give up selling people on taking jobs, and now he coaches successful professionals and executives on how to make the best and most fulfilling career moves that they can. Josh, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are glad to have you. You founded a company called Work Empowered.
I did, yeah.
Focused on career coaching and executive leadership coaching and consulting, correct?
It is, yeah. Thanks. I mean, really the premise of the whole company, to just to sum it up, is you really want to affect employee engagement as a whole, coming from the space that I think inherently companies are not great at always filling their companies with the best people for them. And I think that people are inherently not really great at managing their own careers. You know, wanted to see if we could impact kind of both of those things simultaneously and have people just a little bit more lit up about what they do for work.
That's awesome. I've had, you know, worked at companies where the especially the younger employees think that management has it all figured out for them, and they don't realize that they need to take a little bit of responsibility, total responsibility of their careers. So in Martha's introduction, it sounds like you kind of flip-flopped. You were on one side of concept and now you're on the other side. So what is it about the work you're doing now? It sounds like it's more fulfilling than it was before. What is it about it now that you didn't have before?
Yeah, thanks. You know, and I think that this is, my story might be a little bit more extreme just because I was very young and stuff, but I think it probably echoes with a lot of people in a sense that they just feel, you know, trapped in a job that is not fulfilling, right? I mean, I was very young. I moved to New York City just right after I graduated high school when I was 18. I had only been there the year before on a family vacation. And I loved it. To me, it seemed like the center of the universe. And I just wanted to be a part of it. I had no plan other than I wanted to live there. And so I convinced a couple of my friends and we just, you know, 2 weeks after we graduated, we filled up a U-Haul truck and just drove across the country and moved out there, you know, sold my car, right? Like that's the only money we had. We had no job, nowhere to live, nothing, right? Very randomly, I met somebody at a bar, oddly enough, that was a recruiter, you know, and was telling me, you know, all the great things about being a recruiter and that his company was always hiring entry level. And so I got an interview with them the next week and ended up, you know, landing a job as a recruiter. And, you know, it just became, it's one of those things where I didn't love the work, but it was, you know, it was pretty decent money. I mean, for an 18-year-old kid at the time, you know, being young with money in New York was kind of a nice thing, but I just didn't really like the job. Right. And so, and at some point, you know, several years go by and I felt to myself, like I had no way out of this, right? I can't just go and reinvent the wheel and totally start over. And I think a lot of people end up in that boat. So I think that what I'm doing now, what gives me fulfillment is kind of helping people that are, you know, come to a certain crossroads in their career. You know, they realize that, hey, life is too short to continue to do something that I either just doesn't light me up, that maybe stresses me out or overwhelms me. And I'd like to kind of go do something, you know, a little bit different without feeling like I'm totally starting over. So I'm passionate about helping people that are in that boat.
You know, it's one thing when you look at people making a job change, but just like you made a career shift. I mean, within the same space, but a career shift. Yeah. You know, what is the biggest challenge for the people that you're helping now in wanting to do that?
I think a couple of different things, right? I think that we're talking, you know, you're talking about the difference between just finding a new job and then shifting your entire career. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people, first of all, just finding a new job, right? Right now with just the situation that we're in, there's just a lot of people looking for work. And I think that the people that feel like, I want to just do something totally different, I think they're afraid to kind of dip their toe in the water because they know that it's crazy out there right now, right? Mm-hmm. They know that a lot of people have been laid off or whatever. And so they don't even really know how to get started. And I think just the challenge for people is connecting the dots. I mean, I think one of the things that we do that maybe is unique to us, and I think it's from my journey, right? What, like, I had to figure out a way to still leverage the skills that I acquired, but to do them in a way that actually I found fulfilling. And so we work with people to help them kind of understand that, like, look, you don't have to throw everything away and start over. There's probably aspects of what you do that you enjoy. And, you know, if you just shifted that skill set or those abilities to either work with a company that you find more fulfilling, or just change, you know, I mean, you know, using DISC, right, to kind of understand the things that you're naturally wired to do, and giving them kind of permission and shining the light on, hey, it's totally okay to let go of these other things that are just not you.
Yeah.
So just kind of helping them go through those things and understand that is probably their biggest challenge. Once their eyes are open to that stuff, they start to really connect the dots.
Right. And how specifically do you use the assessments to help your clients?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, that's the first thing I do. So if I get a new client, I have them do that. I have them do it because I think that a lot of people are surprised to realize. I'll give you an example. When we're talking about DISC, a lot of the things are the adapted versus the natural style. When they realize how much they are, you know, their adapted is different, right? How much they're having to stretch themselves to be something that's relatively uncomfortable. And in some cases, they've been doing this their entire career. Right. I want them to kind of understand who they are before they can really understand what is the type of role that's going to be really fulfilling to you. It really starts with that. And then when they realize that, hey, this should not be part of my job, or at the very least, I should get a lot of help with this aspect of it. That's very eye-opening for people.
I found recently, even helping someone who is in a career transition, he told me what he liked about his job and what he didn't like about his job. And he was, with COVID and other things, he wasn't as successful in this new job. And it was still recruiting, but it was from a smaller company to a larger company. And when we looked at his DISC, it made total sense why it was not a good match. And he was kind of down on himself because he's always been real successful. And I said, you would never be happy in this job. You know, you need a smaller thing where you can be a bigger fish and you can influence others and, you know, and not just rotely follow this script that they're asking you to do, you know? So I think that made him feel a lot better to realize he wasn't failing. It was just not a good job match, and you're perfectly smart and popular and influential. You're just in the wrong spot trying to do that. And I think that was an eye opener that you probably get a lot of.
Yeah.
It's just that job fit is not right.
I completely disagree with the ranking and stacking of people. I think that people are just usually they're in the right spot or they're not. And, yeah. You know, I think that, you know, I think everybody is meant to do something exceptional and something that speaks to them. And it really is about just kind of doing the work to identify what that is.
Clients that you have them go through the assessment process and you're helping them to really rediscover what they're naturally good at and what maybe they're adapting terribly at work with, and they're not buying into it. And I've had some coaching clients where they just don't buy into it, but it's like their misery was of their own making, was because they kept going into these high compliant, detailed analytical jobs that they just weren't even wired for. How do you help those people?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? Because I think that some people can be really conditioned to just being disappointed in their, you know, in their results. And I think that what works is, you know, you really have to kind of strip it down. I think it's helpful to have them understand that they are self-selecting kind of their own results of the assessment, right? This is not the assessment's opinion of them, right? This is what they're kind of saying about themselves, kind of spit out in a more helpful way, right? You know, I think asking the questions that have them discover, you know, how long that this has maybe been a challenge for them, and then really get to what they're committed to, right? I think that they have to understand either they're committed or they're not committed to doing something differently. If you can't get them to that, I mean, you know, they have more digging to do personally before I think you can make a big impact.
That's when you refer them to a therapist. I'm just kidding.
And we typically use DISC as part of a multi-science assessment. And so we are, in 2021, Martha and I are going to talk a little bit more about some of the other assessments that go along with it.
Sure.
Because it's the, you know, there's some really rich assessments that help you get a complete picture of yourself. And obviously DISC is our first and favorite and easiest, but
yeah, it is. It is. And it's certainly a great starting point. I blend a few sciences together too, but it can be overwhelming, right? So, I mean, I think that having a fundamental understanding of, hey, this is how I present myself to the world and why, which is kind of what you get with DISC, right, is a great starting point. And then, you know, once they're able to kind of digest more information, you can dig into the why.
What is your ideal client look like?
To follow up on kind of what you just said, right? I mean, I want to work with somebody that knows that they have value to bring to an organization, and they're not maximizing that. I want to work with somebody that they take responsibility for where they're at. You know, they can understand, you know, what they need to do to kind of move forward. So, you know, somebody that's coachable, right? I mean, somebody that's willing to kind of try on new ideas and see if that's going to make a difference for them. But somebody who's been successful, and I don't necessarily mean has to be like a really high performer, but somebody who knows that they've had some good work product, right? And so if we can go back and look at their history, a lot of the people that I work with end up in, you know, what we're trying to do first is to get people into a position where a company is creating a role around them, as opposed to them having to play the game of being a job applicant and applying for a lot of jobs, right? So instead of having to fit into, you know, a really narrow box, you know, we work with them to market them into a company to where the company is creating the role right around them and their individual strength.
And the whole repackaging, right? How are they going to position themselves within that company if they're trying to get this job created, but repackaging what they are?
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's a big thing that we do, and it's just marketing, right? So we help them market. I think what a lot of people do, they put way too much emphasis on like a resume. Whereas, you know, if you Google, like, how long do people read your resume on average? Google says it's 6 seconds. You have to get people hooked first, right? So we teach them how to go into the top of organizations. In some cases, this is CEOs or individual board members, and get interest at that level first and let that interest kind of trickle down to the appropriate power. Instead of sending your resume and going to filling out a job application and starting from the bottom of the organization, which I would consider either recruiters, internal recruiters, or at the HR level.
That's pretty fascinating. Can you give us any little secrets about how to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. You know, when you understand what this is, all relative depending on the size of the company, right? I'm not saying like, hey, if you want to go work for Apple, you call Tim Cook. I'm not saying that, right? But I'm saying when you look at most mid-sized companies, right, these are people that are accessible, right? And so if you do the work, so what we do is teach them a process of doing enough networking and fact finding, reaching out to people on LinkedIn that might have used to work at that company to give us some insight as to what pain points is that company dealing with that maybe you're uniquely equipped to solve, right? And then we're teaching them to, how do you reach out to somebody that's high enough in the organization that if they knew that you were available and that you could help them solve that pain point, they would be able to, they have the power to create something, right? And so, and we just, that's, it's a very simple model. The marketing is, you pay them some compliment, right? Which is meaning you're paying the decision maker some compliment that makes their organization interesting to you, right? And then you say, but I also understand that, you know, that you're facing this challenge right now. And I think I can help you overcome that. Can we talk? And that's it.
You don't start with, you've got an ugly baby.
Yeah, no, you don't start with that. You have to pay, you know, you have to stroke a little ego and pay some compliment to what they've created and why it's fascinating to you and why you might want to be part of that organization. But then just, you know, say like, hey, I understand that this is a challenge you're facing. I think I can help you, right, you know, get past this plateau, whatever you want to say. And then just say, can we talk? And that gets people into really high quality conversations that are just much better than, you know, right now, sending your resume into like a black hole, right? Yeah. Where they're getting inundated with so many people applying for the same job, and having to kind of play that game. I reject that playing that game in its entirety.
So during COVID, were your clients able to get traction, let's say sending messages to these C-suite people on LinkedIn, using other connections?
Yep.
Okay.
LinkedIn and email primarily, okay, right? I mean, most companies, you know, they, if you go into their corporate governance and stuff, you can identify who board members are. Board members, I mean, people are usually afraid to reach out to board members. They're usually just could be teddy bears, right? Uh-huh. I mean, you can look at the, you know, the people that have had, are very successful, that have, are retired, right? They're probably not inundated with people. And then if you look at the, how they're structured, you can understand why that board member is on that, you know, why they're on that board. What are they responsible for? And if you can appeal to, you know, what that board member's oversight mm-hmm. is, right? And that you can kind of forward what's going to be important to them in some way with your skill set. Yeah. You're in. They roll out the red carpet for you, right? Yeah. So, if people are willing to get creative and just overcome maybe just a little bit of fear about taking
brave,
using these kind of strategies, you can yield a really good result for yourself.
Yeah, and I hadn't even thought about board members. That's a great idea. I love that. Well, you were sharing with Cindy and I before we kicked off about some of your offerings now. Do you want to talk?
Yeah. How do you get your clients, or what do you, what do you use to?
Yeah. So, look, it's interesting, right? Cause I like coming out of, being a recruiter, it wasn't really my intention to do a lot of career coaching. I wanted to get into, organizations and consult with them. COVID has created, long story short, it's been my focus this year because COVID has created a lot of very good people have been laid off. A lot of people are just in, they're worried about kind of the landscape and what might happen. And so it's creating kind of this frenzy of people wanting to know what their options are and stuff. Yeah. And I just couldn't, I had to kind of transform how I worked with people mm-hmm. because I just couldn't help as many people as I would like to, right? So what I've done is I've created a free web class, right, where I, through like a webinar, I teach these concepts, just in a broad overview of kind of my recommendations of how to take advantage of this stuff. That's free. I do it most weeks, or if not every couple of weeks. So if you want to get into the next one, you can go to www.createmywork.com.
And are these live webinars? Are you actually there?
I am actually there. Yeah, they're live. I usually do them on Thursdays. The vast majority of these people don't end up, being coaching clients or anything like that. I think it's helpful for a lot of people. But then some people, it's a win-win because at the end of the day, usually there's a handful of people that'll put their hand up and say, hey, I would like a little extra help with this. Mm-hmm. And so, so hopefully everybody gets a little something out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like either way, you're going to walk away with some value.
Absolutely. And
I hope so. I mean, it's designed for people to, to kind of shift, to empower them to shift their thinking about, hey, I don't have to just do this like everybody else does it. And, the title of the class has been, it's a little long-winded. I need to figure out a way to shorten it, but it's stand out from the masses and land a job you love without having to settle just because you need a new job.
Right. Gotcha.
Right. So that's it.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful, but
it's
accurate.
I wanted to be clear.
It's very clear on what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing we had talked about earlier is that you also work with leaders and teams and see where their gaps might be and how the lack of communication during those gaps can affect the team. What kind of work do you do that way?
Yeah, thanks. So it's, it's interesting as a recruiter, I would always go into companies and kind of convince them that they need to hire more people and more, it's always more and more. It's the only way we got fees, right? On the other side of this, it's, one great starting point is using the wheel, right? The wheel and the disc wheel, right? And plotting, where people are. So going into teams and realizing that, you got 10 high eyes on this thing. Like, who's actually going to do the work, right?
Not me.
And so having them realize that, they might think that attracting talent is kind of their number one challenge mm-hmm. and things like that, but they might have a lot of great pieces just in the wrong place.
Right.
That is, that is one of the key things that I've start with them is to just understand that, hey, let's get everybody lined up right first. Right. And then developing kind of then they embrace benchmarking and then they start to, once they figure that stuff out, they start to, handle their talent management processes in a better way.
Excellent. In our last show, Cindy and I were talking, introducing benchmarking and speaking to the high cost of turnover. And I'm sure with some of your clients, you've experienced that. But what breakthroughs have you had with the benchmarking tool with the work you've done?
Yeah, you said it, right? I mean, as a former headhunter that, you know, in banking, right, that charged astronomical fees, the cost of making a bad hire is almost incalculable in some cases, right? So it's interesting though, because it does feel a little bit still like tug of war, right? Because in order to make the investments in time that they need to, which is, it's not a lot, right? But to get them aligned and on the same page, to do the work, to do the benchmarking, to have them understand that this is a great investment for you to make in your time and the whatever the cost, that, you know, the insignificant cost of running a job benchmark versus versus just winging it and going through your typical kind of interview process and hiring people based on your gut and you know, and all of that kind of stuff. You know, just when they sit down and kind of start to answer these questions on their own, at first they have a really painful kind of look on their face, and then it segues into, well, you know, we could really clean this up going forward.
Absolutely.
The clarity that I've found that my clients have just from the initial session, we start off a benchmarking by getting the experts in a room and talking through what this job really is all about and the differing of opinions. And so just that, that's a therapy session in itself, that everyone comes to consensus on, this is what we want this person to do. These three things. And if they don't do it, they're fired. And it helps you, it's got to help that new person when they're hired to not have the VP of this and the VP of that telling them, you're having different expectations of what they want this person to do. So it's beneficial in lots of ways.
I think so too. And I think that sometimes this is the, and you can tell, it sounds like what you're saying is the same thing, is sometimes you can tell that they just never, it never even occurred to them to make decisions in this way. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've seen in some cases, just getting them in alignment around the benchmark, I think once they see the results of that, leads to better decision-making on other fronts of their business. And, you know, they really see the value of kind of communicating and doing the work ahead of time to ensure a better result.
Yeah. Some of the other I could have had a V8 for me was, I would be sending my client companies gap reports or comparison reports. And also they would be getting the full assessment for that candidate. Well, they wouldn't any more read that than a man in the moon. So I started doing this condensed version of all of that just to make sure that they were paying attention to what they needed to pay attention to hire the right people. So it's people are funny.
Yeah, Martha does a good job with the analysis piece, you know, afterwards. Say, here's the data, but here's the one pager that says, here's why I think this, and here's why this is good, and this is you know, going to take some development work. So
this is why I like the new engagement report that they put out. Yeah. It's just because it's simple, it cuts to the chase. Mm-hmm. I think the simpler like you said, Martha, I think that they get overwhelmed by just all the data that's available. The more that you can simplify it and show them, you know, what that means, that opens the door to their ability to be able to digest even more information.
Right. Martha, we need to do a session on that. Write that down, please, the engagement report.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. And for all the listeners, we are all using the same vendor, who is TTISI, and they are the best one out there. So high quality folks. They're just really great.
I was just going to say, you know, it's interesting, the engagement report that TTI just put out. When I read it and, you know, I just did my own kind of sample, I've started using it with my job seeking clients because I think it's a great marketing tool.
Yeah.
Right. So it's one of those things that if they can, instead of a resume, right, which people are just used to kind of seeing them, they kind of gloss over them. This is, I call them the cheat codes. They're like a blueprint for, hey, here's what you can count on me for. Here's what you're going to have to, you know, watch out for, right, in order to get the most out of me. And, you know, look, the rule of thumb, and we always say, like, employers are always saying that they're looking for the best candidate. But if you actually look at who they tend to align on with each other and hire is usually the safest bet, right? The person that they feel is going to surprise them the least. So, right. You know, using the engagement report as like, hey, here's all the good stuff about me. Here's all the stuff you need to watch out for has been, you know, a game changer.
Great, great tip. I love that.
Well, I was going to ask, do you have, you know, as we start to wrap up, is there any advice that you have for job seekers?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, number one is just, you know, understand that there's a lot of people in that boat, right? And if you want to, you know, if you want to stand out from the crowd, right, you need to do more than just the same thing everybody else is doing, which is just applying for jobs and hoping for the best, right? I mean, take ownership, do the work to understand kind of who you are, you know, what's a company that would light you up to go work for. When you're shifting your mind to focus on those things, you start to get creative about where you could fit into a company like that, what you could do, what you could help them with. And then when you translate that creativity into marketing yourself in different ways, like something like what we talked about, reaching out to people that are actual decision makers, asking for a job from the person that can actually give you a job trick. It's not that innovative. It's as old as jobs themselves. Yeah. Use this as an opportunity. It really is, right? I understand that it could be a really stressful time and filled with a lot of uncertainty, but if you embrace it as an opportunity to really, to really upgrade your career and make sure, be selfish. I mean, really just, I mean, cause I think you can. I think that, you know, one of the things that get lost when there's lots of layoffs and stuff is that there's always way more opportunity than a lack of opportunity. Mm-hmm. There's always companies out there that are thriving right now because they've had the opportunity to pivot, and a lot of companies are being left behind. And so, and they need a lot of great people. And so if you're willing to just be kind of selfish and say, look, I'm not going to just go take any job. I'm going to take the best job for me. And I'm really not going to be satisfied with anything else. You find yourself only talking to companies that are interesting and, and that kind of stuff. So that would be my advice, is just stay empowered and be selfish and don't think that you have to in any way discount yourself or anything like that.
People want to hire somebody who's confident too. If you feel that way, you're going to show it. And nobody wants to have an empathy hire. They want to hire people who are going to have ideas and are excited, and they want to come in and change things for the better.
Right.
That's right. And this is, I don't want people to feel like, hey, there's either confident people or not. I think a lack of confidence comes from uncertainty. And I think that when you do the work to, starting with DISC, when you do the work to understand who you are, what you're really good at, what you're not, your confidence comes from understanding your capabilities, right? So doing that work is critical.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Josh. This has been wonderful.
It is my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And tell us one more time where to go to see your webinar.
If you want to get into the next one, it's createmywork.com, www.createmywork.com.
That's easy to remember. All right. We'll see everybody next week.
Thanks to all of you continuous learners for listening in with Cindy and me today. We are passionate about the power of the DISC Behavior Assessment, and we love bringing it to you and your clients. We invite you to visit our website at DISCYchicks.com. There you will find a link to all of our podcasts, and you can listen to previous episodes and subscribe. Also on our website, you can try a DISC assessment for yourself. Just click the link, take the short assessment, and we'll quickly send you the results. Also, check us out as well on Facebook and Instagram.
We can't wait to hear from you. See you next week on the DISCY Chicks podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DISCY Chicks podcast. Never miss an episode by subscribing today. To learn more or start a conversation with Cindy and Martha, visit the DISCY Chicks podcast Facebook page.